Hello, I'm Jane Johnson, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood. Our aim at Careering Into Motherhood is to make life as a working mother that little bit easier. And I passionately believe that coaching and a supportive community are absolutely fundamental to that. It's why we have a partnership with over 60 different coaches who can help you with anything from changing careers to parenting children with special educational needs, going through divorce or other relationship challenges, to launching a business of your own. All the support and advice from our coaches is available on our website, www.careeringintomotherhood.com. And don't forget, the Careering Into Motherhood community is also available to you over on Facebook. Just search for our name and apply to join the group. We've got 11,000 other mums who'll welcome you with open arms, and you can meet and engage with our coaches there as well. Just before we get into today's interview with career coach Charlotte Worth, I want to remind you, because it's related to the subject of today's podcast, we're going to be talking about how to lead with confidence. Careering Into Motherhood is hosting our second annual event on the 30th of April, and there are still a couple of tickets available if you'd like to come along. It's an opportunity to meet Charlotte and some of our other coaches, and one of the topics that comes up so frequently in our community is this idea of confidence. So if it's something that you'd like to discuss, you'd like to meet other members of our community and our coaches, as I say, including Charlotte Worth, please do check out our website and get yourself a ticket. It's happening on the 30th of April in central London. So without further ado, let's get into today's interview. I'm talking to Charlotte about how to lead with confidence. It's a topic that comes up, like I say, really frequently, and most women that I know have certainly been through some kind of confidence jolt and maybe a confidence boost during their journey as mothers. Let's see what Charlotte has to say. Welcome. Brilliant. Charlotte, I'm delighted to welcome you back to the Careering Into Motherhood podcast to talk about a subject that's very, very close to mine and your heart. I know you're a confidence expert, but this idea of the subject of confidence comes up time and time again, or challenges, knocks, lack thereof. It comes up time and time again in our Facebook community. And I'm really interested, before we get going in, your thoughts on why this is something that really seems to affect us when, or as women, and certainly women with children. We're trying to instill in our children, you know, confidence, the idea of confidence, and yet so many women that I meet in the workplace or just generally feel like, having since becoming mothers, their confidence takes a knock. What are your thoughts on that?
Me back for a second time. I think there's a multitude of things that happen with your confidence once you've had a child. I think the physical side of things, your body's changed, the hormones and everything else that go through, which I'm not an expert in, but I do know that hormones have a huge part to play in how we feel. But also, you're removed from the workplace for a year and all you're focused on is baby talk. And when you take yourself out of something, even if you go off traveling, when you come back, I've forgotten everything. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, you're tired. You're not just thinking about you. You're thinking about your new baby or your children. And there's just, I don't think there's enough brain space actually with yourself the time to sort of build yourself up and go, oh, I can do this. It doesn't matter. Also, you've got all these extra responsibilities if I need to be good at my job, because I've now got to and feed somebody else as well. So I think there's lots of different layers, and I don't think there's a one-stop answer for anybody. Each person is very different as to why their confidence changed, in the same way that when you get to perimenopause, your pops again. And again, I think that's a lot to do with hormones and just then once, because I believe a confidence is a lot about embodying it, and that's your physical side of things. And I think once you get those changes, you have to control it in order to sort of help yourself feel good again.
Yeah, it's really true. And that leads really nicely onto when you talk about the sort of physical manifestation of confidence. Again, there's this perception, I certainly had the perception in my earlier years that the people who showed huge bravado were really, really confident. But I know you talk a little bit. How do you differentiate? What is the difference between confidence and just bravado? And why is that so important when we're talking about leadership?
You can pretend to be confident and that sort of fake it until you make it. But I think to be truly successful, you need to feel it. Mm. And particularly if you're a leader, like, they say animals smell fear. Well, people can smell fear in their leader. If they know that their leader's not confident, they'll be able to not literally sniff it out, but they'll be able to tell. And so I think it's not just about bravado. You have to really feel confident in the same way that an actor in a film or on stage, if they act angry or act sad, you can tell that they're acting it and you're not engaged in it. If they genuinely conjure up those feelings whatever emotion is within them, then they are feeling those because the tears are genuine, the anger is genuine because they've created that feeling in themselves. And the whole body, if they're angry, the whole body will become tense with it and they're living it throughout.
It's really true, isn't it? So in terms of people we look to, you know, I think that's one of the issues that we as women, certainly women in leadership, have, is that we look to people around us that maybe stereotypically appeared confident and think, gosh, we need to manifest approach as well. But actually, as you say, it's not just about that, the sort of what you can see externally. And often you can be really quite a quiet confident person. That's something, you know, you touched upon the sort of menopause and perimenopause. As someone coming out the other side of the perimenopause, I feel more confident. You know, I'm about to go into my 50s. I feel more confident now than ever. And yet I wouldn't say I'm especially a loud or brash person. So it's these different, almost different ideas these days of what a confident person looks like. So can you share some practical strategies or exercises or ideas that people who perhaps aren't feeling like a confident leader can implement or could start to work on to demonstrate that inner confidence?
Yes, and I mean, I think confidence comes in three bits. I think that there is the preparation side of it. You really need to be prepared. And if you think about a sports person when they go out to the sports arena, a professional sports person will have done all their preparation, they'll have done all the training that, as you know, as somebody that is running a marathon, you do all your preparation, you eat well and everything else, so that when they get out onto that sports arena, they go out there thinking, I've got this, I'm going to win, because they know they've put their stuff in. But it's also about how you feel in yourself. Like I think this is something, and it's about self-awareness. I think a lot of us aren't aware of how our body feels when we're feeling nervous or anxious. And actually our body recognizes that nervousness before our brain kicks in. So for me, if I'm really nervous, if I'm sitting down, for instance, I wrap my legs tightly around each other. And then I sort of hunch in and everything sort of, and my body becomes tense. So for me, that is the first sign, okay, I'm feeling really nervous now, or I'm not feeling comfortable. So I've learned to think about, okay, when I'm feeling at my best, when I'm feeling really good about things, what am I doing? I don't know, maybe I'm hanging out with my kids and I'm feeling really relaxed and everything's open. And it just feels like my body's light. So it's about recognizing that negative feeling and, okay, what do I need to do to make myself feel more relaxed? Most people, it's as simple as just sort of just leaning back, opening up your shoulders, stretching your sort of body out a bit, and then breathing. But then it's also about, okay, so when my legs are really tight, when they're wrapped around myself, and it's like, okay, why are my legs wrapped around them? What am I thinking? Oh, I'm telling myself, oh, I can't do this. What are you, what? And then it's about asking yourself those questions. What is the reason that you're feeling like that? Okay, I'm feeling like this because I don't know the answer to it. Okay, well, does it not matter? So then you start to ask the questions that will then help you to unravel that negative thought process, and hopefully it'll be fed in with the positive thought process. But the most important thing is how you feel. If you were to scrunch your body up now into that tense feeling, and then to sort of open yourself up, there is a definite difference in how you're feeling. That is the most important thing to feel confident, is how you're standing, how you're sitting, how you're breathing. Because when you've opened up your chest more and you can breathe, everything slows down in your body, because your heart stops pumping so fast because it's getting the oxygen to pump things around. And then when that slows down, your thought processes slow down. Stop going down that sort of tunnel of panic and go, oh, actually, there are ways to get out of here. Actually, this is quite nice now. So it's turning yourself around, really, in the moment.
Yes, it's so true, isn't it? I know, I mean, you, the moment you mentioned that, I did. I sat up a bit and, you know, relaxed shoulders. And it, even I know actors and so on, they talk about this, that actually, you know, if you're sitting hunched over, you're trying to make yourself small, even just your voice, your tone of voice, because your lungs are decompressed. You can't get that big booming voice. You can't speak in that way. So it's sort of, it's really interesting. I hadn't thought about it until you just mentioned it. But this idea that if you're feeling like that and then you go to speak and your voice either cracks or you're not able to speak with the presence that you wanted to, then it's almost self-fulfilling, isn't it? Then you you sound small, you feel small, you think, oh, I haven't said that, you know, I haven't come across in the way I wanted to, and that has a further knock-on effect. I used to work with someone who, whenever he had a big meeting, it was on the phone, he'd sit back, he'd put his feet, legs up on the desk, he'd take up such a huge amount of space. And I used to think, my God, that's just huge bravado. You know, I would never have dreamt of sitting there with my legs up on the desk. And yet for him, I think that was probably part of how he could feel like he was owning his space. And he'd used to talk really loudly into the phone and disturb everybody else. But that was his space that he was owning as part of his confidence, sort of like an actor going on stage. It's really interesting. And is it something that you think can be learnt? I mean, confidence is what it is. And as you said, you'll have highs and lows depending on what you're going through, not just on a daily basis, but also in your life, in various life transitions. But is it something that over time you feel you can relatively consistently build through these kinds of practices?
Absolutely. And I think it's practice. It's learning to recognize what those negative physical feelings are and going, okay, I'm feeling this at the moment. What do I need to do to change it so that it becomes automatic, an automatic response? So for instance, you know, when you get on an escalator, when you get on, your body does this sort of like little jiggle to balance itself. Yes. And then when you get back up, when you get to the top, it does that little jiggle to balance itself. But strangely, it does it even if you get onto an escalator that's not broken, because your brain, your eyes see the escalator and go, oh, okay, I need to do that thing. And even when you've manually walked up the escalator and you get off, it's still, your body still does that little jiggle, because your brain has trained itself to, okay, that's an escalator, that's a moving surface, I need to readjust in order to not lose my balance. Okay, we're coming up to stationary ground now. Mm-hmm. So it's about recognizing that pattern. It's retraining your neuro pathways so that they, it's just like, oh, that's not good. Okay, what do I need to do? And it, And it may just take a few moments to go, okay, yes, my legs are wrapped around each other for me. My legs are wrapped around each other. I'm feeling hunched over. What do I need to do? Mm. I need to unravel my legs. I need to sit back. I need to breathe and slow everything down. So I would, and I've got a handout that I'm happy to sort of send to anybody, which has a list of sort of checklist of questions to ask yourself. And then if you practice it about 3 times a day, just putting yourself into that really tense position and then relaxing, your body will start to recognize it.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available on our coaching partnership program. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create a valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you, and we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood, and as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive, and I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview.
And it is interesting, isn't it, as well, because I'm sure we've all had, whether it's that regular meeting that you kind of dreaded or that regular activity or just those scenarios where your body almost, it's like the fight or flight thing, isn't it? Your body goes into automatic pilot and you don't stop and think. So you're advising, are you advising, you know, if you have those meetings or you have that regular thing that comes up where you just start to recognize that's your body's automatic response and then start to take some of these actions that you're suggesting?
I mean, yes, if you're in the moment, start to recognize it and do it, but ideally do it beforehand.
Right.
So before you go to the meeting, tell yourself, talk to them, how do I want to physically feel? How do I want to mentally feel? And then so that when you walk into that meeting or you switch the Zoom camera on, you're already feeling it. And lots of people have tiny little signals that they tell themselves. One of my clients works for an investment bank and she said that their CEO will come into a big meeting, everybody will be talking, and then if you watch him, he would just have this little ritual beforehand where he, you know how sort of traditionally a shirt jacket, a suit jacket and a shirt has to be a certain distance at the end of the jacket and the shirt. He would arrange that on either side, sort out his cufflinks, take a deep breath and then just place his hands in a position. And that was obviously his signal to go, okay, I need to switch into this mode now and I need feel it. Other people, it might be they just put their hand on their heart, on their chest, go, okay. And that's their switch. Others just a little tap of lifting their chin up. Okay, I need to do this. And then it's a chain reaction. All the other things fall into place. You start to feel relaxed. You put yourself into that relaxed position. You start to tell yourself the more positive things. And then you keep doing it. And then it's about reflecting. At some point when you start doing it, you're going to do it for a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes, and then you're going to slip out of it. So after the meeting or whatever it is, think back. Okay, what went well? How long did it last? What was I doing? How was I feeling? What did my body feel like when I started to feel nervous again or not so confident? Mm. And the more you think about it and the more you become aware of it, the more you'll change it in the next meeting, in the next meeting. And you'll suddenly, after 6 months, I think, oh, okay, I can do this. Mm. I used to hate networking and would sometimes go to the event, get to the door and walk away.
Really? Really?
Yeah. But actually, I think it was the Careering Into Motherhood event that I went to last year, and I walked in, came away, thought, I've really enjoyed that.
No.
I had practiced my confidence building and knew how to make myself feel relaxed. I was exhausted by the end of it, but I did it. I felt confident. And so, and the key is I felt confident. So if I feel confident, then everybody else will think I'm confident. And that's the same as if you're a leader. If you feel confident, then everybody else will feel confident. If they can hear, as you said, that voice tightening, they'll smell the fit.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? So when you, again, I'm sure if we all think back to the careers and jobs we've had, there's a reason, or even if you think about your kids in school, there's a teacher who has really inspired confidence in that class, and it's motivating, isn't it, as well? So, you know, you talk as well about how can leaders use, once, you know, let's assume you've nailed a few of these things and you are starting to feel more confident in certain situations in the workplace, then, especially something I'm passionate about is women supporting other women, how can you use that to inspire your team and to motivate your team? And this is where you get into the real difference between just bravado, which just rubs everybody up the wrong way, and actually being a truly confident leader.
Well, I've got a really lovely client at the moment. She's an interim CEO and she wants to become the CEO, but she has this big thing. I can't fill the space. I want to be able to fill the CEO's seat, but I can't do it. And we had a session a couple of weeks ago where it was all about building up her confidence and things like that. And then she went into a meeting later that afternoon and one of her colleagues was like, "What's happened?
Really?
You're different. You really own that meeting."
Wow.
And she's like, "It's just because I've been," she said, "it's because," she very kindly said, "Oh, it's because of my coach." And I said, "Well, it's not. It's because of the things that she put into." She started to feel it. So she showed it.
That's amazing.
So it is just about, as soon as you start to feel it, other people will notice.
Mm.
And then if other people notice and go, "Oh, I want some of that," then that's for you to then pass on the sort of the tricks and things that you've learned to help you. Confident. And if they can see the difference, then they know that it works. So then they'll try it as well.
Yeah. So they're just taking that with them. Can I ask, do you have any, because I'm really interested, I'm going to go and explore a bit more this idea of the sort of the miniature rituals, or like you talked about, the CEO just puts his cuffs in the right place.
Yeah.
And do you, you know, are there guidelines on these kind of things? It could be a small, tiny thing, just touching, you know, your temples, or as you say, under your chin or something. It just, the idea sounds fascinating, and I can absolutely see how it would work. And just what kinds of things, where can you find that inspiration?
Well, I've got one client who, she arranges her rings so that they're all sort of neatly on her fingers.
Right.
That's her telltale thing. Somebody else sorts out their earrings, which they're all little. Another person, she just, as I said, she just puts her hand on her chest. Somebody, it's just what feels comfortable for you. Other people, it's arranging their clothes. And they're all, for me, if I have a client where I think, "Oh, I don't know what you're talking about, it's really, really scaring me," I push my chair back from the screen and then I sort of lean back a little bit. So I remove myself from the situation.
Yeah.
And also probably by doing that, by pushing my chair back, I'm opening up my chest and then I'm breathing tightly. So it's just little micro movements that only you would know about.
And it's just habitual, is it? So you make sure you have that moment before you go into a meeting where you're by yourself and you can just recenter yourself.
Yeah, just have that sort of breathe, relax, calm everything down, put yourself into whatever. Some people, it might be when they're playing sports that they feel at their most confident with. There might be a netball player, and when they're about to shoot a goal, they just feel completely, I don't play netball, so I don't know if that's the term you're right. But they just feel like, "I've got this, I can do it." And that's their best self. So you're looking to find that best self in all situations so that you can take yourself from the trigger self where you're feeling really panicked or anxious into that best self. And what do you need to do to get from A to B, and B being the best self?
I think what I love most about everything you've talked about today is you're talking about what works for you as an individual, what works for every person as an individual. And that I do agree that that is the key to it. It's not about looking to other people that appear to be super confident. If that doesn't feel authentic to you, if it's not something you can do, by all means, you're taking inspiration from other people you know that you admire in business or wherever it might be, but finding that confidence in yourself, it just feels so much more authentic.
Yeah. And you do look at people that you really admire and see what they do, because if you really like them, then they are going to be more similar to you in their personality traits. So look at that person, she's really calm, really relaxed. What does she do? So take them, but mold it to fit you so that it's authentic to you. Because if it's authentic to you, then it's going to work.
Yeah.
And there is a lot of telling yourself as well. You have to replace the negative, oh, I can't do this, with, well, actually, maybe I can do it. Or maybe I can do this. So there's a whole chain of things. It isn't just the physical side of things, but the physical bit is the start to making the change.
Definitely.
If you feel relaxed in your body, then everything else is going to feel much more relaxed.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Just before we close up today, what's one everyday coaching tip that you, as Charlotte Worth, would swear by?
Well, mine is, you can't just tell yourself that you need to be confident. You need to feel it in your body as well. And you have to embody it.
Yeah, that's so true. It's come through loud and clear today. And yeah, I absolutely agree. You know, we're so told you must be confident. You must be, you know, you must be this particular way. But as you say, it's all about embodying it and finding those little things that help you to embody it, and the people around you as well. Fantastic. Thank you so much. I've loved talking about this. Where else can people find out more about you?
If they go to charlotteworthcoaching.co.uk, or if they go to my page on Careering Into Motherhood.
Fantastic. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed it.
I thought it was so interesting, this idea that blowing out of the water, almost the myth that to be confident, you have to be super loud, super full of bravado, and looking to invariably the alpha male type of stereotype. When actually some of the things that Charlotte was talking about was finding an inner confidence, which just helps you to lead with clarity, to think with clarity, and just by putting in place some of those mini rituals before you go into a situation that might be slightly confidence wrecking. I'm certainly going to try some of them. I'd love to know if you have any yourself. Please let us know on social media or by sending us an email or in the comments section. Thanks very much to Charlotte, and I hope to see you again soon.